بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 11th of November in the year 2021. الحمد لله. We moved on to the 234th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm on the section in which I'm mentioning various blessed reports from the Salaf and the giants, in which they warned again and again of those fools who tried to find fault with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last report I mentioned, which I'll mention again, Al-Fadl ibn Ziyad, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, I heard Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayh, being asked about a man denigrating Sayyidina Muawiyah and Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu, should he be called a Rafidi? Imam Ahmad replied, rahmatullah alayh, no one will feast on the honor of them both, except a person of disgusting evil. No one detracts from the honor of any of the companions except he has entered into an evil group. So this is recorded in Al-Bidayah 5-644. So why did that man ask Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh only about these two sahaba, Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As? Now you know. Radiyallahu anhu. And he goes, if anybody denigrates them, can we call him a Rafidi? Imam Ahmad, it looks like he didn't answer. So he did. He goes, no one feasts on the honor of them both except a person of disgusting evil. Meaning, don't look at his virtues. He's a person who's filth. No one detracts from the honor of any of the companions except he's entered an evil group. So no, there's no exceptions. You can't say we honor the elite ones, but those who came later, we can speak about them. No, you can't. Imam Ahmad says, any of the companions. In a similar report, Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm, when the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, was asked if those who died in the Battle of Siffin would be amongst the damned or saved, he simply replied, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graciously kept my hand from their blood. May my tongue also never now be stained by it. So note, like I mentioned, how often Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar bin Abdul Aziz was asked this. He goes, are they amongst the damned or the saved? He goes, my hands have been saved. I'm now not going to get involved with my tongue. And similarly, Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayh, in Al-Bidayah, he was asked, what is your view concerning what occurred between Ali and Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhuma? He recited the following verse, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 134, and it's repeated in verse 141. Tilka ummatun qad khalat laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum wa la tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun. That was a nation that has passed away. They shall receive the reward of what they earned, and you of what you earned. You will not be asked of what they used to do. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So note again, Imam Ahmad, what is your view concerning what happened between Ali and Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhuma? And he gave a commentary of this verse. Think about that. He actually gave a verse which explains how you answer that question. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That is a nation that has passed away. They will receive the reward of what they have earned. You will receive what you have earned. Then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ أَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You will not be asked of what they used to do. Meaning, why would I want to get involved in that when I'm not going to be asked unless foolishly I enter into that group? And note, this verse is repeated twice. Verse 134 and verse 141. Why? Indicating the importance of understanding this. Why does Allah the Almighty and Glorious, within a few short verses, Surah 2 verse 134, and then just 7 verses later, he repeats word for word exactly what he says. Because that indicates this is a serious problem. Many fall into this. And that's how you answer it. They will get what they get and we will get what we get. We're not going to be questioned about them. But if you talk about them ignorantly, you will be. And subhanAllah, had not our beloved messenger instructed one and all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of a man's perfecting his Islam is that he leaves off that which does not concern him. This is in Tirmidhi, number 2317, Ibn Majah, number 3967, Mishkat. Shaykh Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, authenticates it in his checking of Mishkat, number 4839. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? You have perfected your Islam. This is a good sign of a healthy iman. Is you simply leave which does not concern you. Does it concern us? All of the Sahaba go to Jannah al-Firdaus. And you're asking, why were they on the battlefield? And then you think, well, they're in Firdaus, so does it really matter if they were on the battlefield? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's an illness in your heart, meaning your Islam is tarnished. And if you get into that noble habit, I'm not interested, it doesn't concern me. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is part of perfecting your Islam. And if you flip the coin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, be eager for what benefits you. So look how beautiful. If something benefits you, then be eager for that. But people are interested. But what doesn't concern you, you jump straight in. So look at the two reports, right? And you apply it to yourself. No point applying it to anybody else. Am I eager for what benefits me? And if the answer is no, there's something wrong with you. And do I jump in and get involved in what does not concern me? Then you got a double illness. Think about that. And the nafs loves to talk about these matters. Astaghfirullah. Subhanallah, the above giants amongst the righteous scholars of this ummah were in reality only echoing the sacred words of our beloved messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he warned us time and time again not to probe into and find fault with his companions. I'm just going to mention a few because I've mentioned them so many times. In Nasa'i and Mishkat, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَكْرِمُوا أَصْحَابِي فَإِنَّهُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ. Honor my companions, for they are the best of you. Honor my companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, for they are the best of you. So he not only told you, he gave you the command. But then he explained. So if a person goes, why do we need to honor them? Because the Prophet said they're the best of you. If somebody's the best of you, do you target them? Right? You say, no, you overlook. You think, look, he's done so much good. He's the best of us. So if you do find something negative, you just brush it aside. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, honor them because they're the best. Now why is that interesting? Why are they the best? Because Rasulullah was given all honor. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala didn't choose mediocre companions. If you look into the Quran, and this is not to belittle the other companions of the Prophets, a lot of the reports we find shocking. They call them by their names. Oh, Musa. Imagine we hear that, we think, if that wasn't in the Quran, why are they calling their prophet by their name? Because they're not the best. Right? You go, we'll sit here. You go with your Lord and fight. We're sitting here. Who were those people who said that? Companions of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about it. And so note, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was given the best. How do we know? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Allah Ta'ala looked into the hearts, he chose the purest and the best. He chose the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he looked and he chose my companions, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did Allah the Almighty look into? He looked into the hearts and he chose the best. So who missed out? We didn't miss that. We missed the dartboard. Right? Who hit, you know, the edge of the dartboard? Tabi'in. They weren't good enough. Think about that. If you look into the heart of, you know, think of all the honorable tabi'in. Their hearts weren't pure enough. You can only appreciate that if you know who the tabi'in are. Imagine Sayyid ibn al-Masayyib, because I never, for 50 years, I've only heard the azan inside the masjid. And for 40 years, I've always been in the front saf. His heart wasn't pure enough. Well, that one, how can his heart be not pure enough? Another tabi'i, the fire didn't burn him. The apostates grabbed him, threw him into the fire. Fire didn't reach him. He came back and Abu Bakr and Umar go, Subhanallah, we have a man amongst us who's just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though the fire didn't touch him, his heart wasn't good enough. Right? So what does that tell you? And then you're finding fault with them. It's like saying, Ya Allah, you made a mistake. Right? You think about it, you might as well say that. You know, you chose, but I think I found someone that you didn't. So this is why it's a horrific crime. And similarly, flip the coin. In Sahih Bukhari, number 3673, Sahih Muslim, number 2591, Abu Dawood, number 4658, Tirmidhi, number 3887, Hassan Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 11,079, Mishkat. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tasubbu ashabi, do not revile my companions. Do not revile my companions. Flawless report in Bukhari and Muslim. Previous report, honor them. They're the best of you. It's like the Prophet was going a notch down. As if he was saying, if you can't do that, at least don't revile them. But guess what? We can't even honor them. Forget about that. We're going to find faults with them. You're not even responding to the second command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Abdullah ibn Umar, what did he say? Radiallahu anhum. Do not curse the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for one of them to stand for 1 hour in worship is still far better than the deeds performed by any one of you over his entire lifetime. This is in Ibn Abi Asim in his Sunnah, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullahi alayhi authenticates it in his checking number 1006. So now Ibn Umar explained. He gave me the same statement as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He explained why 1 hour of their worship is better than your whole lifetime of deeds. He didn't mention what worship. For them to stand, was he referring to salat? Was he referring to jihad? Was he referring to maybe just guarding? Whatever it was, 1 hour of that is better than your entire life of deeds. So what's your deeds compared to the sahaba? Therefore, you're a hypocrite. You're finding fault with a person. Your entire lifetime of deeds isn't 1 hour of their worship. If anybody should find fault, it's them with you. They should say, you wasted your life. What sort of a life have you lived? That 1 hour of my worship is better than your entire lifetime. What were you doing with your life? Did they ever say that? So, there was a companion, Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the ten Prophets of Paradise, radiallahu anhu. And in Abu Dawud, he said, even if you lived for the lifetime of Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, you could still not catch them. So he actually went out of your lifespan, because the hadith of Ibn Umar says, 60-70 years of worship. He didn't mean that. What he meant was the ancient ones. You lived 1,000 years, still not 1 hour. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Bukhari and Muslim, for one of them to give a mud, which is like 2 handfuls, is better than a mountain of gold that you give. So now the Prophet is explaining something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it that a small deed of theirs cannot be matched by us if we give a gold, a mountain of gold, which is impossible? Because it's not the deed, it's the sacrifice. They did things that we can only dream of. Then the scholars say, then what about Rasulullah? So when the Sahaba, if we can't emulate them, the Sahaba's deeds, can they be comparable to Rasulullah's? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look at the status. And where are we in all this? And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was he talking to there? He goes, even if you give a mountain of gold, you could not get a mud of theirs. He was talking to the junior Sahaba. We're not even in that hadith. Somebody goes, well, he didn't even bother with us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't bother with us. He just told the junior Sahaba, you give a mountain of gold, O Khalid, you can't catch Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Meaning, impossible for you to catch him. So there's no point for him then to say, oh, by the way, the rest of my ummah, dream on. Right? So why was the Prophet telling you that? Because why are you finding fault with them? There's something gone wrong, right? You instead of thinking, look, they're the untouchables. Right? We say, no, they are touchables. Astaghfirullah. And this is why the report that you hear again and again, world over, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? In Tirmidhi, Ahmad in his Musnad with three good chains. Bukhari in his Tariq, Bihaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman Mishkat. Imam Suyuti states, Hassan in Jami al-Saghir, number 1442. Allah, Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear him with regards to my companions. Do not make them targets after me. Whoever loves them with his love for me. Whoever hates them with his hatred for me. Whoever bears enmity to them, bears enmity to me. And whoever bears enmity to me, in reality bears enmity to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, whoever bears enmity to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is undoubtedly about to perish. Aye, so beware. So the Prophet ﷺ, he actually broke it down as he was going through. Allah, Allah, meaning what are you doing? Like I mentioned, we say this, when you see a person doing something crazy, what do elders say? They say, Allah, Allah. Now why do they say that? Are they praising you? No, they're saying, this what's he doing? He's mad. So Rasulullah said, Allah, meaning you're mad. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear your Lord with regards to my companions, meaning his taqwa. So when you honor the sahaba, that's a person of taqwa. Do not make them targets after me. Now, how do you target? You got a bullseye, you're aiming for the bullseye. So the whole dartboard are the sahaba. The bullseye is Abu Bakr, if you go for the bullseye. Double top is Umar. Right? You can name it. Even double one, there's a sahaba. Right? But the whole dartboard, don't make them a target. Leave them alone, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Whoever hates them, he hates them with his hatred for me. Now think about that. The Rawafid hate the Sahaba. Who do they really hate? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they hate me. And if you ask them, they go, we love him. So Rasulullah is lying there. Meaning you hate them, you hate me. Whoever has hated for me, he's got hatred for Allah. Meaning you chose poorly. And then he goes, beware, you are about to perish. Undoubtedly the blessed companions had their differences, which you've mentioned. But we simply have no right to go into this except with extreme caution. They deserve this. Why? Because our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my companions are mentioned, withhold. When the stars are mentioned, withhold. When the decree is mentioned, withhold. This is in Tabarani, Sahih Hadith. So if you look at the three things, if you make an ignorant statement about the star, you probably have entered into kufr. For instance, because of that star, we got rain. That's happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah Ta'ala said, Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Subhanallah. Meaning kufr. Stars are for three things: darts, decoration, and direction. Anything else, you're wasting your time. That's what the Salaf said. When the decree is mentioned, keep quiet. You speak anything wrong about the decree, you've entered kufr. What is amongst the three? The Sahab. So just as it is fatal for you to make a mistake with the decree, just as it is fateful for you to make a mistake with regards to the stars, it is fateful. It is disastrous to make a mistake with regards to the companions. That's what the Prophet is highlighting. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as to those wretches who ignore all these divine commands, then they deserve the following. In the Tabarani Sahih, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever speaks ill of any of my family and companions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon them. Astaghfirullah. Whoever speaks ill of any of my family and companions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon them. Who's cursed you? How can the mercy to everything that exists curse? Imagine if somebody asked you that question, did the Prophet ever curse anybody? You have to think about it. I think, well, he did what Allah Ta'ala, no, he did what Allah Ta'ala, but did he follow it through? Did he follow through with the curse? Very hard to find it. But they go, yes, he did. He cursed, he followed through with it. What? Those who speak ill of my Sahaba. So if you want to get a gun and blow your head off, pull the trigger, speak ill of Muawiyah. You know, you see people doing that crazy Russian roulette just for the sake of gambling. It's crazy. You'd think, I would never do that, even if there's $1 million on the table. Then why are you doing something even more foolish than Russian roulette? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, my delays that our beloved messengers reported to have said, when you see those who revile my companions, say to them, La'anatullahi ala sharrikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon you for your mischief. This is in Tirmidhi, number 3892, Mishkat. Now, what's interesting about this? This is a command. Bole Bali, you know, they're discussing politics, right? So what did the Prophet say? When you see those who revile my companions, every corner you see it, the Prophet said, say to them, now look at the mercy in the dua, La'anatullahi ala sharrikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon you for your mischief. What did the Prophet say that this is shar, is evil? He goes, the curse of Allah be upon you. He goes, say it to them. Do we do that? Or do we entertain it? No. I've got some Rawafid friends, but I don't know when to, you know, separate from them. Dear. The fact that you got Rawafid friends shows you're a fruitcake. Right? I'm not talking about associates. Obviously, you bump in. I'm talking about the people you spend time with. Allah Ta'ala's wrath is descending on them. You're rubbing shoulders with them. You might not even deserve the wrath, but you rub shoulders. And finally, our beloved messenger warned one and all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Qurtubi, in Istadkhira, page 579, there will be a discord between my companions, radiyallahu ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive due to their being my companions. However, certain people will follow into it after them, and this will lead them to the fire. Who's the Prophet talking about there? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at this. The Prophet said there's going to be an ikhtilaf amongst my sahab. Did that happen? Yes. The Prophet spoke the truth. Did it reach the situation where they were fighting? Yes. The Prophet also mentioned that he spoke the truth. Then what did he say? Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them because they're my sahaba. So you can, you know, make it into the most ugliest image, the fighting. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. Not because they're my companions. Then he talked about some other fruitcakes. What did he say? Certain people will follow it after them. Follow what? The failings. And where will that research take them? To the hellfire. And there's people at this very moment I'm talking, researching into the failings of the Sahaba. Imagine, that's their life. Give us more material so we can do a bayan about this during the month of Muharram. Right? And they give them that little sermon. There you go, we've got all the texts. Right? And after all that research, where they're heading? Right, all the while heading to the fire. You know, subhanAllah. How many sadly fall into this most abysmal category? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Ameen. So note, there's many other reports about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, all of this is in actual fact from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who fought and spent before the victory are greater than those who did thereafter. So that's a verse in Surah Hadid. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Those who fought and spent before the victory. So those, and this shows how important these deeds are. When you do jihad and you spend, it's very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala could have mentioned salat and zikr. he could have mentioned, I don't know, he mentioned two things. Those who fought and spent before the victory, what's the victory? The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Abu Sa'id said, are greater than those who fought and spent after the victory, i.e. the Sahaba who came after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. But then Allah the Almighty then says, but to all He has promised husna. But to all, only, but to all of them, He has promised husna. Husna is paradise. So Allah Ta'ala separates the Sahaba into two camps, the senior and the junior. Then He says, they all are promised paradise. The Quran is telling you that. You're going to reject Quran now. And so note, the Quran is highlighting this. And also the famous report, to finish, the hadith is in Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Mishkat, Sahih Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the ummah will split into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire except one. And then the Sahaba asked, who is that one, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one that myself and my companions are on. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all of my Sahaba have passed. Because they are the saved group, the one that will go all to paradise. He didn't restrict his Sahaba. He didn't say the early Muhajirun, the Badris, those who embraced Islam before the victory. So he was only explaining the Quran. So every Sahaba has that honor given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where a companion called A'id, the dear love, and there was a Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, he was the governor of Kufa, and he was responsible for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. He's a big shaitan. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, he saw A'id radiallahu, and he said, you're only amongst the chaff of the companions. That's how he addressed him, because you're only amongst the chaff of the companions. And A'id radiallahu said, was there any chaff amongst them? So what did Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, this is his belief, the senior ones need to be honored. Who are you? Because you spent a few days with the Prophet, you're just like chaff. I then gave him the answer. Was there any chaff amongst them? Meaning, where did you get this understanding from? Mentioned in Sahih Muslim. So not even the Nasibites, because he was a Nasib, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, they have the illness about the Sahaba. It's only the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah who love and honor all of them. And when they find a narration which apparently belittles them, they construe it in the best manner because they all promise paradise. We have to. So all I mentioned today was basically the reports from the Salaf and from our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which shows again and again why it's so dangerous to speak ignorantly about the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it will land you in the hellfire, the Prophet said. That Allah is. Are there any questions? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, wa shu'la ilahi illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, wa adhibu allahi min shaitan jim, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal asr in lisan lafi khusr, lalladhina amunu wa amilu as-salihat, wa asr al-haq, wa asr al-salihat, 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 wa asr al-